Right now it is time for Dr. Judy Werfman and Food for Mood. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and a brand new book, Before Her Voice Was Still. And we say good morning to Dr. Werfman. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to both of you, and a happy early Thanksgiving, which one hopes is not going to be too cold. I decided to write about the excesses of the Thanksgiving dinner when I was sort of was going through various newspaper magazine articles, looking, you know, for recipes that I myself will be preparing, and I was really struck, Jill, by the effect, by the absence of sort of simple recipes for foods that still retained some of their natural characteristics. You know, Brussels sprouts tasting like Brussels sprouts and squash tasting like squash. And what really came across was that seemed like the whole intent of the Thanksgiving meal is to show off the culinary prowess, whether you have it or not, to your guests.
I know.
go on.
No, it's amazing. And I was thinking about it just in terms of something else from a show that we just recently did. It's a very human thing to way, way, way overcomplicate and forget. I just remember, how about turkey and some mashed potatoes or sweet potatoes and some green and some pie? How about it?
String beans. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it.
Exactly. The problem, there are two problems. The first one is, and as I said in my article, when people who are preparing Thanksgiving dinner meet other people, there are two questions. How many people are you inviting, and what are you serving? And if you only are inviting your immediate family, which may, you know, just be like five or six people even, that's all the people you're inviting, as if you're suddenly supposed to throw open your doors and invite everybody that you ever said hello to, because that shows really what a great host you are. And second of all, you're just playing mashed squash, you know, and steamed string beans. I mean, like, those are real vegetables. I mean, you have to prepare something that no longer resembles what the vegetable was in its natural state, like, you know, cauliflower that's wrapped in cheese and baked and sprinkled with capers or anchovies or what have you. Where did the simplicity and the essence of this holiday go? It's hard to understand.
And the thing is, an entire movement, I don't know if you recall, but an entire food movement was created around it when suddenly food started to taste, I mean, there were small portions, and I can't remember quite what it was called, but it was decades ago. But instead of, just like overcomplicated, oversauced over everything, it was just really simplistic. Alice Waters, it was the beginning of that cuisine. And it's just, yes, a potato tasted like a potato. And somebody, Arthur Schwartz, once said he was at a food show, and this isn't his quote, but when she prepared some potatoes, some fingerling potatoes, and she put it in the oven with some water and some herbs, and somebody said, that's not cooking, that's shopping.
That's where that all came from. You know, it's true. And the point is, for those of us who are old enough to remember the, quote, Norman Rockwell, you know, Saturday Evening Post depiction of a Thanksgiving meal, and one can still see, obviously, pictures of this all around. You know, you see a family sitting around a table, and the mother, or maybe it's the grandmother, is bringing this turkey out, and on the table already are what we would consider the basic aspects of a Thanksgiving menu: the cranberry sauce, the string beans, you know, maybe a sweet potato casserole, and some rolls, and that's about it. And again, if you say that's what I'm serving, and I have a relative who has diabetes, and I try to, he's type 1, where he really has to be very careful about the carbohydrates he eats, when he eats it, etc. I'm very careful about what I prepare, and I certainly don't want to put in hidden ingredients like cream and cheese and, you know, egg yolks and lots of butter or, you know, bacon fat or what have you. That is going to up the fat content, it's going to up the calorie content, or, you know, tell him that, you know, this contains only protein when it really contains carbohydrate. And I think it's partly the fault of the media. You look, open up any newspaper, and like it's just filled with pages of Thanksgiving recipes. You know, remember the, and maybe it's still a fad, where you take a turkey and you stuff it with what, like a duck that's been
turducken.
Stuffed in front of a chicken,
turducken.
Right? Or you know, a small poodle. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you couldn't even eat a turkey, but a turkey has to be stuffed with all sorts of other small animals that you never should have made it to the table.
I know, and you know, while people do like to show off, you know, there's something to be said for traditional Thanksgiving, but there's also something to be said for a little bit of, you know, obviously you should enjoy yourself. Obviously there should be moderation, but obviously you could look back on it with a little bit of distance and go, you know, do we really need to move the food so far away from its, is fancy really tasty?
Yeah, and you know, I'm sure that part of this is, you know, a collaboration between the food vendors, the ones who, you know, are supplying the food to the supermarkets, et cetera, and the media, because everybody seems to benefit except us, the actual consumers. But when you go into the supermarket and everything is available for your Thanksgiving meal, you have jarred gravy, you have your pumpkin pie mix, you have your cranberry sauce, you have the cans of crispy onion rings that you can put on top of your string beans. I mean, but everything is laid out, and again, your eyes open up and you think, oh, I'm not making enough for Thanksgiving, because you're overstimulated by the excesses of food there. And again, and then that is simply reinforced by all of these articles about how you have to set a very elaborate table. And the crazy thing, Jill, is that this is for the consumer public who most of the year doesn't even cook. You know, that most of the year we are being bombarded with advertisements for meals that can be delivered to your door and you microwave it, or maybe mix a couple of herbs with a couple of packaged goods and you call it a freshly prepared meal. Or the public whose refrigerators contain beer and maybe a hunk of cheese. You know, or the public who eats 7 meals or 5 meals in a restaurant or takeout food. And this public who just doesn't cook, who really doesn't sit down for any dinner at all during the work week, all of a sudden is expected to turn their kitchens, you know, into, you know, a gourmet restaurant. And of course, the basic meaning of the holiday, that is, you know, getting together with friends, relatives who you might not otherwise see, you know, on this day of relaxation, supposedly, that seems to be just somehow lost. You know, whenever I've had Thanksgiving, I usually make it. To me, the best part is after the food has been eaten and we sit around the table and tell stories and laugh and enjoy other company. And I don't care, you know, if the dishes are piled up in the kitchen, it doesn't really make, that's unimportant. The fact is that once all together, you've eaten, you've enjoyed the food, and you can, start making more memories that you might enjoy remembering the following year. And I don't see that written about at all.
Yeah,
nobody talks about that aspect of Thanksgiving, and that's really what it should be. And I don't know how we're going to bring that back.
I don't know. Marshall will figure it out, though.
All right.
Thank you.
Anyway, be that as it may,
happy Thanksgiving.
I hope you have a simple and a simply wonderful holiday.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
And you can hear Judy every Thursday morning here on Robin Hood Radio.